Hi friends, this is Justin Hibbard from Why Catholic with a brief message before we begin today's episode. Whenever I find something that is life-changing, I love to share it with the world. It's why I started the Why Catholic podcast, and it's also why I started a program called Trade to Live, where I teach people how to options trade. That's right, I've been an options trader since about 2010. In fact, I've been an options trader longer than I've been Catholic. Options trading has been life-changing for me, allowing me to focus on the more important things in life, like family and faith. Maybe you're just curious or want to earn some extra money, or maybe you want to consider a career change. Check out my options trading program at tradetolive.substack.com. That's tradetolive.substack.com. Oh, and if you decide to move forward, I have a special discount for you. Just go to tradetolive.substack.com/whycatholic. On February 22, 1931, a nun by the name of Sister Maria Faustina Kowalski was visited by Jesus, who presented himself as the King of Divine Mercy. He was wearing a white garment with red and pale rays coming from his heart. In her diary, Sister Faustina wrote, quote, "In the evening, when I was in my cell, I became aware of the Lord Jesus clothed in a white garment. One hand was raised in blessing, the other was touching the garment at the breast. From the opening of the garment at the breast, there came forth two large rays, one red and the other pale. In silence, I gazed intently at the Lord. My soul was overwhelmed with fear, but also with great joy. After a while, Jesus said to me, 'Paint an image according to the pattern you see, with the inscription, Jesus, I trust in you.'" End quote. Sister Faustina went on to note that Jesus explained he wanted the Divine Mercy image to be solemnly blessed on the first Sunday after Easter. That Sunday is to be the Feast of Mercy. Now, Sister Faustina didn't know how to paint, so she asked around her convent for help, but no one was able to help her. 3 years later, in 1934, the first painting of the image was created by Eugene Kazimierowski. And in most Catholic churches, you're likely to see this image. Hi, this is Justin Hibbard, and you're listening to Why Catholic, my podcast about the what and why of Catholicism. Every month or so, I try to do an episode about a saint or their feast day or some sort of celebration in the church. This Sunday, the Sunday following Easter at the time of this recording, is Divine Mercy Sunday. So I'd like to focus on the meaning of this important day in the church. First, I want to talk about St. Faustina's vision and Jesus' message to her. Secondly, since we're in the series about the nature of God, I want to talk about his mercy. Thirdly, I want to talk about the term octave and how it relates to the octave of Easter. And finally, I want to touch on indulgences that apply to Divine Mercy Sunday and what it means for us. Let's begin with St. Faustina's vision of Jesus. In one of St. Faustina's diary entries, she records Jesus telling her the following, quote, "My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and a shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls that approach the fount of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day are opened all the divine floodgates through which graces flow. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. My mercy is so great that no mind, be it of man or of angel, will be able to fathom it throughout all eternity. Everything that exists has come from the very depths of my most tender mercy. Every soul in its relation to me will contemplate my love and mercy throughout eternity. The Feast of Mercy emerged from my very depths of tenderness. It is my desire that it be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the fount of my mercy." End quote. So Jesus urged St. Faustina to institute a sacred feast in the church, which would occur on the Sunday following Easter, and it would be focused on God's mercy. But you might ask, as I did, isn't Easter the pinnacle of God's mercy? Why do we need an additional day to really focus on it? The answer is this. Jesus' death and resurrection opened the door to heaven, but that doesn't mean everyone is going to heaven. We have to embrace Jesus, his death, and resurrection in order for it to be applied to our lives. For example, in Numbers 21, we read about the Hebrews wandering around the desert complaining about their situation. God gets so angry at their insolence and lack of gratitude that he sent poisonous snakes. However, he also provided a remedy. He told Moses to make a bronze serpent and hang it on a pole. Anyone who was bitten and looked at the bronze snake would be healed. Whereas the bronze serpent was the vaccine, the people had to actually take the vaccine in order to be cured. In the same way, Jesus' death is the vaccine, but we also have to enter into it. And this is what Jesus wants. He didn't want to kill people with the serpents. He wanted them to recognize the mercy of God and embrace it. That even in their grumbling and complaining, God was still abundantly willing to be merciful and rescue his people. Maybe we should define mercy. Mercy is seeing someone suffering and intervening. And this is who God is. He is merciful, but more than that, he is mercy. He doesn't just create the world and sit back and watch it go. He intervenes in our suffering. And the most prominent way he did this was through his death on the cross. And so the next step is up to us. What do we do in light of that mercy? How do we respond to it? I was chatting with a Catholic friend about Divine Mercy Sunday, and he said, I just feel so unworthy. And he went on to say that that was probably why he wasn't attending Mass on a regular basis. He felt so unworthy. I don't think my friend is alone in this. I think that is the number one reason people avoid going to Mass. They feel unworthy. Oh man, I've missed Mass for weeks. I'm not worthy to go today. And it becomes cyclical. Well, I've been engaging in this sin or that sin, so obviously I shouldn't go to Mass. All of us, every single one of us, especially me, can become spiritually crippled by our shame. And you know what? That's when we need God's mercy the most. None of us deserves it, but none of us are too far gone to receive Jesus' grace, forgiveness, and mercy. You know, the Bible tells us that there was one disciple at Jesus' cross, the Apostle John, likely the youngest of the disciples. Judas betrayed Jesus, Peter the leader denied him three times, and the others, we don't know exactly where they were, maybe lurking in the shadows, maybe hiding in a locked room, but they weren't there by Jesus' side. These were Jesus' closest friends. These were his disciples. These were the people he was training to lead his church. He had every right to say to them, guys, you've been by my side for 3 years, and at the time I needed you the most, you abandoned me. I imagine that amidst the excitement of the resurrection, some maybe felt a bit ashamed. But Jesus embraced them and showed them mercy. In fact, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And when Peter replied yes, Jesus told him to feed his sheep. He didn't just do this once, but three times, the exact number of times Peter denied knowing Jesus. Jesus gave Peter a do-over. He refused to let Peter's weakest moment become his most defining one. Jesus acted mercifully because he is mercy. And so it is with all of us. Jesus invites us into his sacrifice. He invites us into his mercy. This brings me to the point of the octave of Easter. Octave means 8 days. It used to be that the church had a number of major feasts that happened in octaves, or 8 days. In the Latin church, following the revision of the Missal, we have 2 octaves, Christmas and Easter. Christmas isn't just December 25th, it's December 25th through January 1st. It begins with Jesus' birth and ends with the solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. Easter isn't just Easter Sunday. It begins with the solemnity of the resurrection of our Lord, and it ends with Divine Mercy Sunday. This is a principle taken from a number of Jewish feasts, such as Sukkot, also known as the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. It's not a mere one-day festival. It's a 7-day festival, and the Bible tells us that the last day was the great day of the feast. The last day is the culmination of what began a week ago. St. Augustine talked about this, calling the octave, the 8th day, the compendium of the feast, that is, the greatest day of the feast. Whereas Easter begins with the resurrection, it culminates with us entering into it, entering into Jesus' mercy. St. Thomas Aquinas said that everything has 2 perfections, a 1st and 2nd perfection. The 1st perfection is our existence, but the 2nd is when we become everything that we were created to be. In the show notes, I've linked to a longer explanation of Divine Mercy Sunday by Father Chris Allar. One of the examples he uses is an acorn. An acorn reaches its 2nd perfection when it becomes an oak tree. So it is with us. We reach our first perfection at our birth. Our second perfection is when we truly enter into our purpose, which the Baltimore Catechism tells us is to know God, love Him, serve Him, and be with Him forever in heaven. Once we achieve that, we have become what we were created for. So it makes perfect sense why Jesus would ask for a feast on the octave of Easter. The first perfection is His death and resurrection, His eternal act of redemption. The second perfection is when we accept that redemption, when it's applied to us and we fully enter into it. So how do we do that? Well, that is what Divine Mercy Sunday is all about. It's an invitation to each of us to enter Jesus' mercy in a uniquely beautiful way. Jesus told Saint Faustina that not only would He offer complete forgiveness of sins, but also complete forgiveness of punishment. This brings us to one of the most confusing topics in all of Catholicism, which is indulgences. And I did a whole episode on it in episode 56, if you want to check that out. When my kids do something wrong, they ask for forgiveness, and I, of course, forgive them. But that doesn't mean that they don't get punished. I might say, I forgive you, but you're grounded for a week. The same is true with us. God disciplines us because we are His children. The discipline doesn't mean He doesn't love us or hasn't forgiven us. In fact, it means the opposite. Now, we might not be aware what the punishment is for our sins. We might experience some sort of illness or hardship, but the point is that God's forgiveness and discipline are not mutually exclusive. This is the whole idea of purgatory, which I talked about in episode 46. Revelation 21:27 says that nothing impure can enter heaven, and so while we receive God's forgiveness, we may need to experience discipline to be made completely pure. We may still have attachments to sin that we need to be purged of, and so purgatory is that detox prior to entering heaven. Whereas we can go to confession and receive God's forgiveness, an indulgence is one step more. It's a reprieve from that temporal punishment for our sins. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, beginning in paragraph 1471, outlines the conditions of indulgences. One may receive an indulgence for doing something like spending a half hour meditating before the Eucharist or going on a pilgrimage. However, that must be done in addition to the four normal conditions for receiving indulgence, which are having the interior disposition of complete detachment from sin, even venial sin, having sacramentally confessed our sins, having received the Eucharist in a state of grace, and praying for the intentions of the Pope. What makes Divine Mercy Sunday extraordinary is that Jesus is so eager to offer us extraordinary mercy that He told Saint Faustina, quote, "On that day," which is the Sunday after Easter, "the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the fount of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment," end quote. So on Divine Mercy Sunday, any of us can crawl out of the gutter, go to confession, receive the Eucharist, and receive a complete wiping away of our sins and our punishments. We may still be struggling with our attachments to sin, but this day is meant to wipe the slate clean. It's like the moment we were baptized and our sins were washed away and we became a new creation. On Divine Mercy Sunday, under these conditions, we become clothed in Christ. We are given the spotless gown for our wedding with Christ the groom. It's like what St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. Quote, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." End quote. So, brothers and sisters, no matter where you are in your Christian walk, Divine Mercy Sunday is a day for you to be reconciled with the Creator in an extraordinary way. It's a day for you to receive the ocean of God's graces that were offered and poured out on the cross. The painting of the Divine Mercy from St. Faustina's Vision hangs in most Catholic churches, at least most that I've been to. And as you see those beams of red and pale protruding from Jesus' heart, remember that Jesus isn't just merciful. He is mercy. He longs to pour out the oceans of mercy onto you. And on Divine Mercy Sunday, this is especially so. Let me end with a couple of prayers that are part of the Divine Mercy Chaplet prayed especially on Divine Mercy Sunday. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Amen. Thank you for joining me for Why Catholic. Be sure to subscribe to Why Catholic wherever you get your podcasts. And you can also subscribe to my Substack site and get the next episode in your email inbox. As a subscriber, you get a special discount code to the Why Catholic Etsy store. If you've been blessed by this podcast and you're feeling generous, there's also a way to financially support it, and patrons get some extra perks. To become a free subscriber or a patron, just go to whycatholic.substack.com/subscribe. Also join me on Instagram at Why Catholic Podcast, all one word. Thanks again for listening. My name is Justin Hibbard, and this is Why Catholic. God bless you.